Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors.
Powered by Salinity.
Okay, so Charles, welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast. Today we are recording at the Interface Conference in Atlanta, and we are doing a major transition here into Charles's life. And so, Charles, look. You candidly were one of our first recordings. It has been one of our higher downloaded ones, and I think you know, it's because people like you. I'm not sure totally why, but
after this, I'm not so sure either.
No, all due respect, you definitely are an influencer in the industry, and we do. Other than today, I would say that I've enjoyed all the conversations that I've had with you. And so, let's transition into talking about you are a keynote speaker today, and your topics were on disruption,
correct?
And so, let's dive into that. You had 5 points. Maybe we can just hit some of the highlights.
So you know, we. You know, a lot of this started several months ago, going to conferences and the conversations around disruption. I think it's kind of an overused word. Everybody wants to talk about disruption this and disruption that. And I think that the things we always hit on in senior housing is, okay, is there an oversupply? And yes, I think there probably is, generally speaking. And, construction costs and all these things I think are appropriate to talk about. But I think there are other things that are looking outside our industry that are affecting our industry that we may not be considering, because I think a lot of times we focus, like a lot of industries do, of, you know, how can we improve ourselves in our industry, but what if there are things outside of us that are affecting us? And so some of the things that I've been thinking about and talking to folks around are things of, you know, senior housing is starting to run headlong into sort of the medical world and post-acute medical world. And I think on one hand, we can fight that. But I think, like it or not, we have to start pivoting from let's just build beautiful buildings and hire caregivers to really affecting outcomes and health and care. And not necessarily from like a nursing home standpoint, things like that, but really start looking at how do we partner with, you know, as accountable care organizations are becoming more prevalent, as, you know, Medicare Advantage may start looking to reimburse for senior housing. You know, are there things that we can do as an industry to, one, see that as a separate revenue stream, also, you know, get reimbursed for what we do, open up to a larger market, but also how do we change our business practices in order to be partners? We can't just do the same old, same old. We have to be able to show quantifiable outcomes.
So when we start talking about quantifiable outcomes, a lot of people talk about that.
Right.
But our senior housing industry, we seem to be way behind the times on even, one, knowing what data to track. Right. But even our tracking systems are full of just errors, omissions, and things like that. So, you know, when I walk into a senior living community, it could be your average, or it could even be a better senior living community, I'm amazed at the lack of technology implementation that we typically have. And then I'm also amazed for the companies that are, I would say, forward thinking, and they're implementing a lot of technology, right. But it seems like it has no rhyme or reason. Can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, what's your impression of that? How do we get past all that? Because it seems like a big part of this analytic piece and developing or capturing quantifiable data depends on, you know, our systems.
Technology. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the points I made earlier is 10 years ago when I first got in this industry, the only technology that we had was a nurse call system, right? You pull a cord and a light goes on, and if you're really sophisticated, send some sort of data packet to a pager. Ooh, ooh. But it's evolving now, and I think we make the mistake of looking at technology for technology's sake. I mean, we've been just as guilty, I think, as anybody else. It's like, oh, that looks cool. That looks cool. Let's try that. And at some point a few years back, we realized, what is our strategy? And so things that were interesting to us or not interesting to us may have been very interesting to other people and vice versa. So things like, you know, iPads and home automation, things like that, virtual reality, there's use cases for it. It wasn't that interesting to us. Not that they're bad. That was not our strategy. Our strategy is the belief that we think an increasing number of referrals are going to come from, you know, say the medical, the broader medical community. As acuity rises, people stay in their home longer because there are technologies that are allowing people to stay in the home longer. We have to accept the fact, or we're accepting the fact, that our acuity mix is going to be higher and higher. Okay, so if I'm working with an ACO, then I say, have to say, what data can I use, can I capture about my resident? You know, if Luke is my resident, what are those 10 things I know about Lucas that no one else knows? Now, the problem is I have 10 systems producing 10 different things, pieces of information. Where we're evolving to, we're trying to, one of the things, kind of a sidebar initiative that I'm helping work on, is how do we integrate that information? So I can say, you know, here are the 10 things we know about Lucas, and I can share with his medical professional. I can share with his family. I can share with a hospital. I can integrate to say, here are the trends in his behavior, right? Okay, yes, he may be sleeping more, but why? What else has been going on that we can use to help and intervene in care? So, you know, right now you're right. The data is, you know, we are gathering more and more and more data, and none of it's being looked at, because the more you have, the less it's being looked at. So, now we got to put sort of the genie back in the bottle a little bit and focus on what are those things that are really, really important. And I think as an industry, we're starting to evolve. You're starting to see that. You know, I've actually been working with a company, it's called Veritage Solutions, on doing just that. It integrates data, normalizes it, and integrates data. So, you know, it has the 10 things about Lucas. Now, the problem is now you start going to companies saying, okay, we can now do this. We have the ability to do this. We have the technology. Then the next question is, you think people get excited because they're asking for this, and they say, well, the problem is, wait a second. Now that we know that we can integrate, we don't know what questions to ask from the information. How do we measure our effectiveness? So people have to go through an existential process of figuring out what is important to them, what do they want to measure, and then go back and say, give me the technological tools to figure out how we get there.
So with that, you know, we're talking about some technology, strategic implementation of that, asking the right questions, getting the right data. It seems like there's also this, to use the term a lot, but there's a big gap that can exist between, you know, the community, your traditional senior care community, and the healthcare system, which we acknowledge that is the future,
right?
More referrals are coming. So where does that, you know, how do you bridge that gap?
How do you bridge the gap?
Yeah.
Pun very much intended,
yes.
Right? You know, and that's the last mile, the way I see it, is you have major hospital systems, major medical systems. They have like the Cerners and the Epics and things like that, that have, you know, those EHR platforms. And what we have and what they have are night and day. And how do you bake into that workflow? Well, one of the things that we're looking and exploring is actually creating a what's, you know, called a PHR, personal health record. So it's almost sort of like an EHR light, where you capture sort of key information about your resident that becomes very portable within a managed care environment. So you find managed care, you know, a managed care community, you find an ACO, and you work within the confines of that system, and maybe you actually create your own accountable care organization, your own managed care network, where you're managing the population of, you know, maybe it's 20 different senior housing communities get together and do this. And then you sort of dictate that as a record. But at least, you know, that is the last mile. So in that interim step, if nothing, before we can even get there, we have to consolidate information on our own side to say, okay, well, here's a simple record of things that are very, very critical. And maybe it's you just print it out and PDF it, right,
mm-hmm.
when you bring it to the doctor. But at least you have a way to start interacting. And those things, we're starting to see companies build tie-ins to EHR, interoperability. It's going to happen, but... And to prepare for that, we have to get our own house in order first.
I agree. So opinion poll here, because I ask a lot of people this, and I guess I've had opinions, but want to know yours. So when you start looking at systems, there's, gosh, emerging systems all the time, right? And it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like there's a category of, you've got very unique systems, whether it's a CRM, you know, a billing system, an EHR, an EMR, you know, you got all these individual systems and software companies.
Right.
Most of them are cloud-based now. But then you have these all-in-one systems,
right,
or claim to be all-in-one systems. And I get people asking me all the time. They think I've got the answer, and I don't have it figured out. You know, what's best? You know, is it the all-in-one solution and the theory of all that data communicating with each other? And again, I use the word theory because some of them don't do that better than others. Or is it better for an operator to go out and pick that best-in-class in each category and mine the information? You know, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I do, and I kind of go both ways. I mean, traditionally, we've always used sort of an all-in-one system because, frankly, it was easier off the shelf. But you know, one of the things we see is that your front office, your CRM, there's really not a lot of information that needs to tie into sort of your clinical care processes. You know, where the greater integration really needs to probably be on your financial side. You know, I think a lot of these companies, I'm not picking on any particular one because they all want to be all things to all people, you know, but each one of them they do something really, really well. Mm-hmm. And then they do other ones that are okay at best. But, you know, I guess I tend to kind of get more to the all in one only because we found that it's less expensive to kind of go all in one. It's an easier install. And then we don't have to try to integrate data on the back end. I mean, that's not the right answer for everybody, but for the size of company that we are, you know, trying to build so much change management, the more systems you add, the more change management, the more difficult it is. It can be complicated. So you may not get the best CRM with your EHR, but is it good enough, right? That's how it comes down to for me.
I could get in the weeds, Lucas, all day and talk about these kind of things because, you know, I think we have a unique audience and it's just about every stakeholder. So we're talking about technology companies. There's technology companies out there listening, stakeholders in that we would love to be able to influence as well. You know, that's why I think this is a relevant conversation because what is the missing link in these that operators need and how, you know, giving them that constructive feedback and building out those systems, because I do believe exactly what Charles says is, you know, whether we like it or not, we're now part of the true healthcare continuum. It's hospitality is met healthcare, and we can either put our head in the sand and fight that, as he said, or we can adapt and adopt. And so good insight.
Yeah. Well, I think the story I tell that it was eye opening and alarming for me at the same time. A few months back, talking to someone who's, you know, the largest sort of integrated post-acute care providers in the United States. And she does a lot of business development, relationship building, kind of national accounts. And she says, Charles, I was in Dallas, I'm working with two different ACOs, and both the ACOs are stack ranking all the senior housing communities around them based on the frequency of admission to their hospital. And again, as our acuity mix increases, the medical community is going to be more and more a referral source, and they're already judging us based on their own terms, not our terms, but their terms. And so it was alarming to me, like, okay, you may not be getting referrals from a hospital, and you may not even know why. It's because, oh, you know what, the state regs say you have an acute episode, send them to the ER. We have a conflict there. But so you have to balance out your referral source with what the state requires, and it can be very complicated. It's a lot of work to do in the regulatory front on that.
Well, I think that's an important piece, too, because just being informed and tracking, I mean, without a really good system to capture data to even understand where inquiries and referrals are coming from and where they're not coming from and tracking that month over month, without a good system of data and analytics, you're never even going to know that. I mean,
that's right.
Before your building's at 50%, you know,
right.
So
right. Well, and as you well know, that, I mean, these systems are only as good as the information you put in it, and then it's the staff that is, you know, has the lion's share of actually implementing it, maintaining it, inputting all this stuff. They have to be trained.
Right. They have to be trained. And that's, you know, we talk about the last mile being, you know, tying into the medical world. Really, the last mile is training your staff. And we're just as guilty on this, some of this stuff. Well, yes, we implement great technologies, but yes, there's training. You have obviously going to have a lot of turnover, unfortunately, but it's also, you know, where I'm looking to go with our operating platform is, you know, let's build, I don't know, 8-10 KPIs, no more, that say we're going to look at these things every single day. Every day we're going to look at them every single day, and we're going to have a red, yellow, and green, where are you, every single day on those things. And that's, we bake it in part of everyone's DNA. It's everyone's workflow. And there's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth probably getting to that, because, you know, Lord knows EDs have 1,000 things they've got to work on. But I want, you know, these are 10 things that are important to our corporate strategy, our company strategy, and our community strategy. Every day, what are you doing on these things? And so it becomes part of the workflow. And almost passively say, we'll look at the outcomes, and then the only way you can affect the outcomes is to actually use the systems appropriately.
So transitioning here as we round out the show, what's next for Charles Turner? Give us a little insight, and it can be anything. Yeah, I mean, just things you're into.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of things I'm working on. Some things I can't talk about. They're sort of pretty you know, exciting and scary at the same time.
We're going to hold you down and make you.
Yeah. Why not, Charles? I feel totally neglected right now. Yeah. Just give us everything.
That ain't going to happen. But there are some things that I'm working on that are actually pretty interesting. I'll tell you one thing I'm working on. I'm working with a company in Houston that they come from the medical world. It's a startup, and I'm actually really excited about it. I think it can actually solve a ton of our labor problems. I kind of stumbled. These are guys I know, but I sort of stumbled into it. They've been doing this for the medical world. Essentially, it's like Uber for nursing shifts. Like, I'm a hospital, and I have an open nursing shift. I can either pay overtime, I can hire an agency. And all they do is kind of set up, okay, they interview nurses and qualify them and say, okay, I need a med-surg nurse at 11 o'clock. And, like, they're qualified, and, you know, there's a rating system like Uber. It's like, well, there's a whole senior housing implication for this. If we can provide labor at the same cost as, you know, a full-time employee. So, you know, an $11 hour employee is really $15, right? When you take in all the payroll taxes and PTO and all that other stuff. Well, if we can charge you $15 to fill a shift, you're indifferent. You know if they're good or not because we'll have already interviewed them. The other communities will have ranked them, and then they can be hired immediately. And if you want to hire them permanently, great. You can try before you buy it. It shortens the hiring cycle from 45 days to a couple of hours. So, you know, I'm very interested in seeing how that comes out in the senior housing world. We're going to pilot it in Houston and a handful of communities in Houston, and then we're going to look to kind of roll it out kind of city by city, sort of like an Uber did, you know, nationwide. But we're going to start small, and they've already been doing it on the nursing side, and we think there's a big cost savings that senior housing communities can leverage by using this platform.
So you guys are going to be piloting this. When do you think this will be available to your ordinary operator that's anywhere?
I mean, it's hard to say because we're looking to do the first couple pilots by the end of the year, maybe into Q1, really refine the product, the application for senior housing itself. And then it'll be, you know, then we're going to do a couple more cities. And then once we get a foothold in those cities, then it's okay, let's go out for a major funding round. They've done some little bit of seed here and there, but do a major funding round. And then at that point, it's okay, let's start hitting, you know, the top 20 cities or whatever. And then by then, our goal is as we started getting into, you know, regional senior housing companies, it'll start to spread on its own.
That's awesome. That's exciting. So kudos to you for being a risk taker, right? And piloting that and working out the kinks. I think that could be a game changer.
Cool.
Well, we'll definitely stay close to that, Charles. We appreciate your time and your sense of humor.
Well, listen, all joking aside, I think this is a wonderful thing y'all did. And it's funny, you know, we kind of started early on this and looking where you guys have come. And so, I mean, listen, congratulations to both you guys for what you've done. Y'all should be very proud of, you know, you're creating a voice for the industry. So, I think you said it best earlier, you know, all the knowledge that we gain here, you're sort of spreading it to everybody. And that's exciting. I appreciate that. So congratulations, you guys.
Well, we appreciate your collaboration and giving it back to the audience. And so as we do on every show, we'll definitely post connections to you in our show notes. We'll post on social media because we want the conversation to continue. Ask us questions, engage with us. We love our listeners and to them right now. We just thank you for listening. You might be driving, you might be traveling, walking your dog, working out. And we thank you for tuning in to Bridge the Gap and listening to Charles Turner today. So great job, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Safe travels and another great episode of Bridge the Gap.